The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm Tommy Grimes. Treacherous as a serpent. Wily as a fox, faithful as a dog, wise as an owl. This is all common currency from the accepted coinage of our daily speech. And yet, who is to say these are true statements? Where are the facts, the figures, the documents? Like so much else these days, couldn't it all be a public relations ploy? What are serpents, foxes, owls, and dogs really like when you get to know them? And not just as animals, which is the way we know them now, but as equals.
Doctor, I was told I would be through here in an hour.
I'm sorry for the delay.
For me, this is the busiest time of the busiest day of the year.
I'm sorry.
May I use your phone?
No.
No. But someone in my office has something very important to tell me.
No one has anything of greater importance to tell you than I have.
What's that?
You're going to die, Mr. Skipworth. You're going to die.
Our mystery drama, Change of Heart, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Louis Turenne. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Taking a laxative?
Yeah, traveling throws my system off.
But so can a laxative.
Not Metamucil.
That's Metamucil?
Metamucil Instant Mix in little packets.
Oh.
Easy to take along.
And easy on your system. Because Metamucil is made from natural fiber with no chemical stimulants, more doctors recommend Metamucil for really gentle relief.
I like that orange flavor.
Me too.
Easy to take.
If not nature, Metamucil. Read label and follow directions.
Wednesday on CBS Television, Burt Reynolds was the world's greatest stuntman. He'd fallen farther, been blown higher than any man alive. Then they asked him to do the world's most dangerous stunt.
Flames, explosions, death, all in one shot.
And when Burt Reynolds named his price,
$100,000,
Sally Fields named hers.
I won't be here when you get back.
Burt Reynolds and Sally Fields.
Action!
In Hooper, a CBS special movie presentation, Wednesday at 8:30, 7:30 Central and Mountain.
This is Richard Thomas. The March of Dimes saves babies. Babies born too small, too soon, with tiny, frail bodies that could fit into the palm of your hand. 10 years ago, they might have died. But medical science has made giant strides since then. Science supported by the March of Dimes. Today, high-risk babies are tended lovingly in intensive care nurseries equipped with the most sophisticated machines that monitor every life sign. The March of Dimes helps equip these life-saving nurseries. They also support transport services for high-risk pregnant women so that they can have their babies at hospitals ready to handle any complicated emergency. The March of Dimes supports prenatal care clinics so that every mother-to-be may get the kind of care before birth that would increase her chances of having a healthy baby. Yes, the March of Dimes saves babies, and you can help. Please give to the March of Dimes.
By the time he was 33, Alexander the Great had conquered the world, which really isn't saying much, because it was mostly all of Greece, parts of Persia, pieces of what are now Egypt and Turkey, and some mountain passes into India. On the other hand, we have Roger K. Skipworth, who at 41 has virtually conquered vast territories that Alexander never heard of, and by tactics Alexander never dreamed of. Alexander prevailed with fire and steel. Roger is armed only with pieces of paper. Roger K. Skipworth doesn't lose very many. But watch closely. He's about to drop a big one.
Yes? Mr. Skipworth, please. Is Mr. Skipworth expecting you?
Mr. Skipworth should always be expecting me. My name is Millicent Sanford.
Millicent Sanford? Oh, you must be Miss Sanford, Mr. Skipworth's fiancée.
Exactly.
And you're here to see Mr. Skipworth?
Precisely. You may announce me.
You see, Miss Sanford, well, this is sort of an awkward situation.
Sort of awkward, Miss...
Mrs. Speckle.
I've heard of slightly awkward or completely awkward, but sort of awkward.
Well, you see, it's 10:30.
Yes?
Mr. Skipworth has an iron-bound rule. Absolutely no one is to be announced between 10 and 11. He told me straight out, not even the President of the United States.
Well, I'm more important than the President.
Come,
Mrs. Speckle, live dangerously. Just lift the phone, see? Nothing to it.
Yes, I told you I'm not to be disturbed.
Yes, sir, I understand, but Miss Sanford is here.
What? Oh. I'm up to my neck here. Tell her, just let me think for a minute.
Excuse me.
Please, Miss Sanford, you can't go in.
Debating whether or not to see me, are you, Roger? See, I've just solved your little dilemma for you.
Now, Millicent, my dear...
Thank you. I will sit down.
I was caught off guard. It's just that you never come to the office. And this is my absolutely most hectic time of day. Oh, this thing simply will not stop ringing. Yes. I know we offered him more, Pruitt. But at the closing, make him take 5% less. He has to swallow it, right? Well, I'm surprised to see you today, my darling.
Why?
Because we have a dinner party this evening.
I was in the neighborhood on an errand...
Excuse me. Yes? No. I'm convinced we can force the stock down quite a bit lower before we buy it. An errand?
I want to talk to you about tonight's dinner party.
What do you want to tell me?
Cancel it.
Cancel it? But we decided to give the party in order to officially announce our wedding date.
We're going to cancel the wedding, too.
Who is?
I am.
Excuse me for just a minute.
No. Please, permit me. Mrs. Speckles, no more calls until further notice. Thank you.
I can't have her hold up my calls at this hour of the day.
Very well. I shall just leave this here and say goodbye.
Why, that's the ring. That's your engagement ring.
Yes.
That ring, it's 20 carats.
Oh, yes, every bit of it.
And you were talking about wearing it always on your finger.
That's what it was designed for.
But no one should be foolish enough to wear expensive jewelry these days.
Then why did you buy it?
Obviously for an investment.
Oh, see, Roger, you never lose. In 6 months, I'm sure it is appreciated very nicely.
No, wait, Millicent. You say you want to break our engagement. Why?
Why did we become engaged in the first place? We were brought together by well-meaning mutual friends. We appeared to be an ideal match. We were both single, both successful.
Well, doesn't it make sense?
Perhaps. I was becoming a bit lonely. And you, Roger, what about you?
Me? Why?
I have been engaged to you for 6 months, and I cannot, for the life of me, determine what you would want with a wife. What are you looking for, Roger? Certainly not companionship. We spend so very little time together.
I'm a very busy man.
But you're not busy doing things that interest me.
Do you realize I head an international conglomerate?
Right now, I want intimacy. A very special intimacy. It will never be as important in my life as it can be during these few years. And there's practically none of it between us.
Millicent... I shall work very hard to try to find time.
Do you want to marry because your friends are married? Because it's the thing to do? Because you need it for your image? Or is it perhaps that certain rumors and suspicions may attach themselves to a man who remains a bachelor? You're looking at your watch.
I am not. Well, the fact is, right now... They're setting the price of gold in London.
Well, why don't you call up and find out? I have nothing more to say.
Hang it all, Millicent. I hear what you're saying. I admit I can be very busy sometimes. But the fact is, I haven't been feeling first rate for a while now.
Goodbye, Roger.
I have the right to know why you're breaking our engagement.
I told you the reason.
There has to be a tangible reason.
Very well. Since you insist... I cannot marry you because you are a pig.
A what?
A pig.
How can you say such a thing?
Oh, wait. You don't look like one. You're attractive, beautifully dressed, perfectly groomed, and spotlessly clean. Nonetheless, you are a pig.
Why?
Because you behave like one. What does a pig do all day? He eats and eats. He eats anything and everything that comes his way in the barnyard. A pig is a belly that walks on 4 feet. He has only one aim in life. Fill that belly.
There's no need to be insulting, Millicent.
You ask for the truth? What do you do here all day? You sit here snuffling like a pig behind that desk, devouring everything that comes your way. You gulp down mines, factories, hotels, oil companies.
Millicent, I'm in business.
So is a pig, in the business of filling his belly.
You have absolutely no idea of how business is conducted.
I could understand it if you got joy out of it. If you bought and built things that held some meaning for you. But all you're doing is becoming the fattest pig in the farmyard. And you know what happens to that pig one day, don't you?
Millicent, I asked you to marry me because I love you.
Probably. But not enough, Roger, not enough. You're looking at your watch again.
I am not.
It doesn't matter. There's nothing more to be said on the subject. Mrs. Speckles, it's back to business as usual. Goodbye, Roger.
I'm not going to let you just walk out. Come back here. Millicent, you must listen to me. No, please, please come back into the office. I listen to you.
What do you have to say?
I can't say it out here.
Mr. Skipworth's office? Just a moment. Sir, it's Mr. Pruitt.
Don't tell him. Tell him it'll have to wait. Now, Millicent, please, listen.
I'm listening.
He says it can't wait. The Howell deal needs a yes or no right now, or it will blow up.
Give me that phone. Pruitt, do you mean Howell is actually ready? Millicent, this will be the biggest deal of the year. You just have to give me a minute.
Roger, I'll give you all of eternity.
Millicent, please. What's that, Pruitt? All right, all right. Just bring me the figures. This is their annual report, Pruitt?
Yes, it is, R.S.
Not enough new sales activity. When we take over, we'll put in more aggressive management. Make a note of that.
Yes.
And another thing.
Yes? Are you all right?
Yes. Yes, I'm feeling fine. Just let me get my breath.
You've been having little incidents like these for quite a while now, R.S.
Incidents like what?
You seem breathless. Your face becomes flushed.
I put in a full day, Pruitt.
It's now 11:30.
That's right. And the real estate people are due any minute. Where's that folder?
I canceled that date.
For what reason?
Because I thought it necessary to make another one.
With whom?
The staff at the medical center.
What have I to do with the staff?
It's time for your physical examination.
Now, look here, Pruitt. No one authorized you to make an appointment for me at the medical...
You haven't had one in 2 years.
I'll decide when I need an exam.
It's corporate policy. All executives are to undergo complete physicals once a year. You made that rule yourself.
I simply do not have time at this point.
You keep postponing yours.
That's my affair. Reschedule the real estate people.
All right. You're the boss.
And see that you don't forget it.
There's only one thing.
What?
The board of directors. You keep avoiding a physical, people start asking questions. Is he all right? Could something be wrong with him?
That's nonsense.
Meanwhile, you don't look too well.
I tell you, there's nothing wrong with me.
Of course not. So why not go to the clinic and have the doctors make it official?
All right. All right, but I can't give them more than an hour.
Everyone's all lined up and waiting.
Make a fist, Mr. Skipworth. You'll feel a slight pinprick.
Now, how long is this going to take?
Take a deep breath and hold it.
I was told I would be out of here in less than...
Out of this beam of light with your right eye.
But you just took blood.
Just relax, Mr. Skipworth. Relax.
Won't you sit down, Mr. Skipworth? I'm Dr. Muller.
Doctor, I've spent too much time here already. Couldn't you simply send me a report?
I don't think so.
Will this take time?
Time? Well, Time is relative.
Doctor, before we get into this, may I use your telephone?
No.
No. I must call my office. Someone has something very important to tell me.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No one has anything more important to tell you than I do.
But what's that?
You're going to die.
That's enough for one morning, certainly. It's enough for one act. The day began with a bottom. And now, how much lower can you get? One thing is obvious. We have people in our story who lay it on the line. Millicent Sanford, and now, this Dr. Muller. The line extends into Act Two, shortly.
I've had my share of winning teams over the years, but one of the best teams ever fielded, in my opinion, is not at the stadium, it's in the library. This is Ira Parseghian, and I'm here to urge you to check out the teamwork at your library. You'll discover a winner. If you're looking for the answer to a question, any question, just dial the library's telephone reference center. In most libraries, there are specifically trained teams who can find the information you need. Maybe your reading skills aren't up to par. Don't let that stop you from getting ahead. Start with the library. Many offer reading programs, and if yours doesn't, the team of librarians will know where to send you. And just in case you've forgotten, the library is one of the nation's great inflation fighters. Almost all services and programs are free. Whether you need to know how to play a better game, how to shop smart, or how to save energy at home, the library's team can help you score. Use your library and support its team.
A public service message from the American Library Association and this station.
This is Gene King for your Better Business Bureau. If disaster struck your home, would you be able to report exactly what you lost to the police, the IRS, or to your insurance company? If not, then it's about time you took a few minutes and took a complete home inventory. To start, list the major items in each room of your house. Note the serial numbers and, where possible, purchase prices, present value, and the date purchased. If you have receipts for any of the items, it's a good idea to attach them. And to back up your written inventory, photograph the walls of each room with the closet or cabinet doors open. Now, on the back of each picture, write the date, the general location, and the contents shown. And you'd better make sure to keep two copies of the inventory, you see. One at home, so that you can update it periodically, and one away from the house in a safe deposit box. Don't lose it. You'll need it. A consumer tip from this station and your Better Business Bureau.
The saying goes, we are in death. But that isn't literally true for most of us. Barring war, crime, or accident, or disease, most people do not die in the midst of life, but rather toward the end of it. Most people, in our society anyhow, live to an old age. But evidently not Roger K. Skipworth. He's in the midst, the prime of life, and he's just received the death sentence.
You're going to die, Mr. Skipworth.
Me? But I can't die.
And why not? Who is Roger K. Skipworth to assume that he can escape man's fate?
No, what I meant was I can't die now. I have too many projects on the line.
Why do you say I'm going to die? Here, look at the screen above my desk. Now, those are X-ray pictures of your heart. Your heart is dangerously enlarged, which is why you feel tired all the time.
I do not feel tired all the time.
Look, I'll make this as simple as I can. Your heart is enlarged because it's working too hard. Now, it's working too hard because your mitral valve, which controls the flow of blood between the left auricle and ventricle of your heart, is leaking.
Leaking? I don't understand.
Your mitral valve is barely 50% efficient, which means that your heart must work twice as hard. It gets twice as tired. It swells up, gets softer, spongier. Sooner or later, it has to give out.
What's
is sooner or later.
A year?
A year.
6 months? Perhaps even 6 weeks.
And I'm going to die?
Yes. Unless you take steps to correct your current condition.
What steps?
We could replace the mitral valve in your heart.
What does that mean?
You know what that means. We would remove the valve you have now and give you a new one.
Are such procedures common?
I do at least 3 of them each week.
Well, then it's routine.
Mr. Skipworth, no open-heart surgery is ever routine.
And it must be done, you say?
Yes.
Who says so besides you?
Every cardiologist on the staff. Your corporation finances this medical center. You should know the caliber of the people who work here.
And how much time are we talking about?
10 days to 2 weeks in the hospital. Then at least a month of restricted activity at home.
That adds up to 6 weeks.
At a minimum.
Well, how can I spend 6 weeks away from the office?
Well, I'm sure your company can spare you for a month and a half, Mr. Skipworth.
Do you know what can happen to me in 6 weeks, Doctor?
I believe I told you.
My heart can kill me. Yes, I know that. But I can also be killed in other ways if I disappear.
Oh, you're not disappearing. You'll be in the hospital, and then at least...
I won't be at the office, at my desk. I will not be making decisions.
Obviously, someone else will have to do that for you.
No one else can do that for me. If I'm alone and isolated and helpless, I can be destroyed.
Are you telling me that there's absolutely no one in this world you can trust?
It isn't that simple, Dr. Muller.
It shouldn't be that complicated.
Pruitt, I'm going into the hospital for surgery next Monday.
I know, R.S. What's that?
This is a doll. It's a big-sized boy doll.
But what's all that stuff? Tubes, wires?
I had all this explained to me. This is what I'm going to look like in the operating room. All these tubes and wires are going to be placed inside me.
Oh, my. I don't envy you.
Afterward, I go to the intensive care place. And within 48 hours, all these things get taken out. Then they bring me up to my hospital room. I'm conscious. I can receive callers. I want you to report to me every day. Do you understand?
But the doctor said something about 6 weeks.
I can't afford it. And let's not go into it, Pruitt. I'll be lying in bed. I'll be able to think. And that's all that's necessary, isn't it?
Well, sir, you're the boss.
That's right. Wherever I am, and however I feel, I'm the boss.
And how do you feel this morning, Mr. Skipworth?
How do I feel?
You're pretty heavily sedated, but all the signs are good.
There was a call I had to make.
When this is over, you'll be 100% better.
The leases. The oil leases.
Ready with the anesthesia? Let's go.
60,000 shares.
You're all right, Mr. Skipworth. You made it.
Doctor.
No. Don't try to talk.
Phone call. Must make phone call.
Not for a while, Mr. Skipworth. Not for a while.
Mr. Skipworth, line? I'll tell him. That was Pruitt. We can have the Hollowell stock.
Good. Call Demarest and tell him.
Excuse me, but this is a hospital, not an office. Is it all right for me to examine you, Mr. Skipworth? You look good. How do you feel?
There's a great deal of pain.
As there must be.
But I can manage it. When can I be discharged?
Let's see, this is the 11th day. Well, tomorrow, if you like.
I can finally go home.
Yes, but I would advise you to restrict your activity.
Technically, medically, surgically, is my heart sound?
Yes, as you put it, technically, medically, it's as sound as it can ever be. But it will take you a while to overcome the pain and fatigue.
Let me worry about that, Doctor.
I must say, Mr. Skipworth,
You're one of a kind. Mrs. Speckle, try Miss Sanford's number again.
You want to see me, sir?
Sit down, Pruitt.
Yes.
I was thinking about something Millicent Sanford said to me. Yes? Well, if she doesn't answer, try later. She said, I never buy or build companies that hold some special meaning for me.
Well, you've always made solid investments, R.S.
But I never knew what most of the companies really did. Oh, I knew what business they were in. But I never knew or cared about what they made.
The basic thing is the bottom line.
Just once, I'd like to own a company that makes something that's important to me, personally. I've just been given what amounts to a new life by an artificial mitral valve in my heart. It's a device. Find out who makes it.
What's it made of?
I don't know. We never asked. Call Dr. Muller. Pruitt, is this your idea of a joke?
I'm telling you exactly what Dr. Muller said.
A pig?
Yes, sir?
I have a valve in my heart that comes from a pig.
That's right, sir.
Pruitt.
What is it? Are you all right? Tell me if something's wrong, R.S. I'll call the doctor.
Who? Who laughed?
No one, R.S. No one laughed.
It's Millicent.
Millicent?
Don't you hear?
No, sir.
I was right about you, wasn't I, Roger? I was right. See? Don't you feel like a pig?
Millicent!
R.S., what's wrong?
And inside you, aren't there all those pig-like longings? Aren't you beginning to feel them?
How did you know, Millicent? How did you know?
I'm calling the doctor.
Get the car, Pruitt. Millicent, I'm coming in. I must talk to you.
I heard you had an operation. You seem to be in fine shape. Won't you sit down?
Millicent, do you remember what you called me?
What?
You called me a pig, didn't you?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Why, Millicent?
Well, I thought I explained it.
What did you know?
About what?
About the piggishness of my nature.
I was only remarking on your behavior.
Oh, no, Millicent. It goes deeper than that.
Deeper? In what way?
In a physiological way.
Roger, I really can't follow you.
How were you able to see it?
See what?
Or sense it?
I've never seen you like this. You're genuinely distressed.
Oh.
Can it be that you're human after all?
Well, I always thought I was human. Completely human.
Roger, can't you tell me what you're talking about?
I don't know. I'm not sure. It's just something I sense. Something I feel.
Explain it.
I can't.
Why not?
Because there isn't any language for it. That is, any human language. Did you discuss this with Dr. Muller?
I don't even know Dr. Muller.
And how did he know to do it? How did he know to do it? I do it all the time. I always use the mitral valve of the pig. I don't believe it, Doctor. You got together with her.
With whom?
Millicent Sanford.
Sorry, I don't know a Millicent Sanford.
Miss Sanford called me a pig.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Being a strong-minded woman, she was determined to make that epithet come true. And so she, obviously, is determined to turn me physically into a pig.
Mr. Skipworth, the facts. Wherever possible, we use the mitral valve of a pig. It most closely resembles the mitral valve of a human being and is practically interchangeable.
I don't believe it. You're saying that installing this valve from a pig is a usual procedure?
A standard procedure.
I see. Then why do I feel...
Why do you feel what?
It's nothing. It's nothing at all. I can't explain it. Pruitt. What are you doing here?
Well, it's Saturday the 9th, sir. Time we were leaving.
For where?
Today's the big company barbecue.
I'm not at all interested.
Oh, you have to put in an appearance, R.S.
Why?
Why? Because, obviously, it's the democratic thing to do.
Ruid, I don't give a...
Oh, everybody goes to these things. And besides, if the board of directors see you there, then they'll know you're completely recovered.
All right. All right, all right. But it's all foolishness. Is it much further?
Oh, relax. It's a lovely day in the country. Ah, here's where we turn in. The company took over this whole picnic area for the day. Yeah, let's park.
Hello, Mr. Skipworth.
Oh, yes, Mrs. Speckle.
I'm so glad you could come. Smell that. It's almost ready. Oh, I can hardly wait.
Smell what?
The barbecue.
The what barbecue?
Oh, you can see it. Just past the table. See the pit? And those enormous three pigs that are being broiled.
Pigs?
Yes, of course. Aren't those the biggest hogs you ever saw in your life?
Hogs?
Oh, folks are lining up now. Oh, shall I bring you a platter, sir? What part would you like?
What part of... what?
Of the pig, of course.
Mrs. Speckle, do you think I would actually eat any part of a pig?
Oh, it's delicious.
What kind of barbarian? What kind of savage do you think I am?
And now, R.S., you want to relax. Why don't you just go on ahead, Mrs. Speckle?
Oh, yes, sir.
A barbecue. A pig barbecue. No, Pruitt, I have to put a stop to this.
Picnic is going to turn out after all. You listen to Mr. Roger K. Skipworth, and this thing is beginning to sound like a family affair. Well, many barbecues like these are. But in how many of them does one of the guests feel related to the main dish? We shall explore this relationship further in Act 3.
Can't he see the difference between the letters B and D? He won't stop talking for 5 minutes. Why won't she behave at school? He won't sit still. My child tries so hard, why can't he learn? He can't distinguish his right hand from his left. Why can't she remember how to tie her shoes? He's impossible to live with. This is Pat Collins for the Foundation for Children with Learning Disabilities. These frequent complaints of parents can actually be symptoms of a child with learning disability. Problems in language and math, lack of coordination, disorganization, and hyperactivity are just a few indications of this problem. The keys to helping a child with a learning disability are early detection and special teaching. For further information on recognizing learning disabilities and to receive a free copy of Their World, a publication of FCLD, write LD, Box 2929, Grand Central Station, New York, 10163.
Hello, this is Cliff Robertson. I'd like to say a few words about those very special people who save millions of lives every year, yet they never receive any medals. In fact, you never hear their names. These quiet heroes are volunteer blood donors who supply the more than 30,000 pints of blood used every day. More donors are needed if we hope to keep up with the demand. Only 5% of those eligible donate blood. The procedure is safe and simple, and the entire process takes less than an hour. There is no substitute for human blood. An emergency can happen at any time when you or someone you love requires blood in a hurry. It can mean the difference between life and death. Won't you give blood today and join the ranks of the quiet heroes?
A public service of this station and the American Association of Blood Banks.
Pigs is pigs, said Mr. Ellis Parker Butler in a celebrated short story written, was it almost 100 years ago? Yes, just about. Well, certainly things have changed over the past century. Pigs may still be pigs, but obviously they seem to have become a great deal more, especially to some people.
I'm going to put a stop to this.
Please, R.S.
I'm serious.
Don't make a scene.
I don't care.
But you have to care.
I am being outraged.
By what?
By... What's the difference? You wouldn't understand it.
No, I wouldn't. And even more important, neither would the board of directors.
What do I care about the board of directors? I'll get another one.
Of course you will, but if you make a scene, think of the consequences, sir. The press is here. Can you afford to be labeled a nut? Just stick around a few minutes. Greet a few people, shake a few hands, nibble at a platter of barbecue.
Don't say that!
Well, just to show you're a regular fellow.
Give me the keys to the car. I'm leaving. Good morning.
Morning.
Is this your farm?
Mine and the bank's. Thinking of buying it?
Do you have pigs?
Well, what kind of pigs are you looking for?
Oh, just pigs.
Well, sir, there ain't just pigs. You got your great whites, your Tamworths, your Berkshires, and your Poland Chinas.
Do you suppose I could see them?
Oh, I don't think they'd mind. Just beyond the barn. Right there where I keep them penned in. Each one of them sties has a covered part in an open court. And I want to tell you, I keep the place spotless.
I see. Who's that one?
Oh, him? He's Big Daddy. Just look at him eat. Ain't it just awesome? I'm going to enter him into the fair. He can fatten up to half a ton easy.
And then, what'll happen to him?
Oh, he's a Chester White. He'll go mostly for lard and bacon.
Oh. And what will happen to his heart?
His heart?
Specifically, his mitral valve.
Oh, I wouldn't know what that was. These days, they can find uses for everything.
What are they all eating?
Well, a lot of folks feed them slops, not me. I give them mostly meal.
Meal?
You make a mash. I like bran myself. And you mix in some cooked potatoes.
Sounds delicious.
They like it. Mix in some raw roots, maybe some sour whey, and now and then some coal ashes.
Oh, yes, yes. They're all so beautiful, aren't they?
Yep. There's something real handsome about a pig.
I would like to take them all home with me.
Well, they're for sale, you know.
Yes, but you see, there's the board of directors.
What's that?
You've been very kind. I thank you for everything. And goodbye.
Goodbye to all of you.
Pruitt, do you have the Littlefield options?
Right here, R.S.
Plans for the Morris merger?
They're being drawn up now.
Let's see, what else?
I have a whole list here.
Oh, have you?
Of course. All right.
Read it off.
Are you all right, R.S.?
Why wouldn't I be all right?
You look tired.
Oh, for some reason, I'm a little sleepy. Is it hot in here?
I don't think so.
I just can't, for some reason, seem to keep my eyes open.
Skipworth? Roger K. Skipworth?
Yes. Yes, I'm Roger K. Skipworth.
Come with me.
Who are you?
Don't you remember me? I'm the pig lady.
Oh, yes. Yes, the pig lady.
Come with me.
Where?
To the farm. To the pig pen.
Me?
I just sold Big Daddy. How'd you like to be my new Big Daddy?
Me?
Why not you? I got better grub for you to eat. What are you feeding on here? Factories, oil wells, stocks, bonds, stuff like that? Where's the nourishment in it?
But you're only going to fat me up for the slaughter.
So what? That's your fate, ain't it? You're getting fat to get slaughtered one day here, too, ain't you? One day the wolves will come in and cut you up, chew you down, and spit you out. So you come, be safe, be Big Daddy at my place.
Oh, now, listen, I'm not a pig.
Yes, you are a pig.
No.
Listen to your heartbeat. Listen how the blood passes from your left auricle to your left ventricle to that mitral valve. That valve comes from one of your own brothers, one of my own pigs.
That doesn't mean a thing. Other people have that same kind of valve.
But they ain't pigs to begin with. Listen to that valve. Don't you hear what it's saying?
I don't hear anything.
Listen to the rhythm. Brine mash and cooked potatoes. Brine mash and cooked potatoes.
I don't hear it.
Brine mash and cooked potatoes.
I don't hear it.
With sour whey and coal ashes.
Horace! Wake up, Horace.
What?
You fell asleep, sir. You must have had a nightmare.
Brine mash and cooked potatoes.
What's that?
That's nothing. Nothing at all.
Roger, I'm afraid I don't know what to say to you.
Please listen to me, Millicent. You were right. I'm a pig. Maybe it's natural for some of us to take after certain animals. After all, we do call various people snakes, skunks, dogs, and so forth, don't we?
Well, yes.
I know what I'm doing now is absolutely hoggish. You described it. The way I just seem to want to devour everything.
I'm sorry you made me say that, Roger.
No, it was good. It opened up my eyes. I want to change.
Do you, Roger? Really?
Yes. I have, right here in my heart, a vital part of a pig. And now it's a vital part of me.
But there are thousands of people who have the same implant. It doesn't affect them in any way.
I know, but it's different in my case.
Why?
Because it must be responding to something that's piggish in my nature.
Oh, nonsense.
That valve, it sets up a certain rhythm.
What sort of rhythm?
Oh, please, Millicent, don't even make me try to explain.
Roger, that valve has nothing to do with any feelings of piggishness.
But I tell you, Millicent,
it's all in your head.
But why do I get these sensations?
Roger, let's go and see Dr. Muller.
Mrs. Skipworth, I told you some time ago that you were a badly overworked man, and you would probably have to pay some price in sanity for it.
But, Doctor, it's so real.
It can't be real.
I tell you, I am responding to the pig in that mitral valve.
Impossible.
Don't humor me, Doctor.
It's a matter of fact.
You have to be able to prove a fact.
And I can. Yes, that valve was removed from the heart of a pig.
It was a functioning part of the living heart of a pig. Now, you don't deny that.
No. But you see, Mr. Skipworth, changes took place in that valve. It is now merely a piece of lifeless, inert, artificial material.
But it was part of a pig.
There is nothing left of the pig in your valve. There is no, well, what do you want to call it? Racial memory.
There's nothing living in the valve?
It is merely a piece of the functioning machinery of your body. And nothing else. Now, please, stop working so hard.
And that's what Dr. Muller said.
Yes. You see, it was all a kind of reaction to the life I'd been leading.
The life of a pig.
I never knew it was the life of a pig until you gave it that name.
Well, I am sorry I caused you all this trouble.
But, Millicent, only you could have caused it. You see, if someone else had called me a pig, I could have shrugged it off. But when the woman I love confronted me with it, it must have dug deep.
Well, face it, Roger. You did behave like a pig.
Yes,
I see that.
And now, Roger?
Now I don't have to devour things like a pig anymore, as far as business is concerned.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that.
There's so much more to the world than just devouring. Do you know, with all my money, I've never really gone anywhere.
Roger, you've traveled all over the world.
But I didn't see anything. I went from airport to airport, from hotel to hotel. And all I did was sign pieces of papers, which gave me controlling interests in stores and factories and things and places I never even visited.
And there's so much to see.
I know.
And so much to do.
Let's do it all together, Millicent. I've got to get away from behind that desk.
I know, Roger.
No, dearest, you don't know. No one really knows. And I could never make anyone understand. All I can say is, I've got to get away from there. Because it's like being in a pigsty.
Well, that's good enough.
All this talk has made me hungry.
Me too. I'm starved. What a fantastic menu. What would you like?
I don't know.
How about some shrimp ayab? Coq au vin brioche. How about some moule manière?
I was thinking of something simple.
Simple? Now, why not? How about lobster?
Oh, I don't know.
Roast duck, broiled chicken, some lamb chops.
No.
Well, it's a large menu. Look it over.
I have.
And you don't see anything you like?
Nope.
Now, Roger, what are you in the mood for?
Well, my dear, I'll tell you what I'm really in the mood for. Some nice bran mash and cooked potatoes.
Bran mash and cooked potatoes?
With sour whey and coal ashes.
Roger, what are you saying?
What he's saying. What's the old proverb? There's no accounting for tastes. And you must admit it's an interesting and probably nourishing diet. What will this do to the relationship between Roger and Millicent? I can't say. But I would assume that if he only eats like a pig, he'll be all right. But if he behaves like a pig, he'll be in trouble. Meanwhile, you keep out of trouble until I return.
Hi, I'm Landon Saunders, and you know, it's the little things that get you down. You wake up in the morning feeling pretty good, but the kids are sick or noisy or messy or all three, or the traffic's bad, your job's no better, your boss is grouchy, your co-worker's lazy. Your bills mount up and you feel tension that you didn't have before, and you become morose, depressed. Maybe you have 3, 4, 5 days like this in a row, and you don't know what to do. Well, I've got a few suggestions that I think will help you cope with that depression. Here's one idea. Decide not to let your depression dehumanize you. You're a person, a very special and valuable person. Nothing or no one can change that. And you don't have to react in any other way. Your depression is never bigger than you are, and it's generally not fatal. If you'd like a copy of my depression plan, it's free. Just put the word depression on a postcard and send it to me at this address. Heartbeat, Hartford, Connecticut, 06142. This is Heartbeat.
As the 809 pulled out of the station, Christine pulled out her latest Ravenhouse paperback mystery and began to read.
And the only clue to the murder was the red carnation on the bed pillow.
Is this seat taken?
No.
Where are you headed?
Lakeville.
He's wearing a red carnation.
Is there anything wrong?
You're wearing a red carnation.
Yes, I'm very fond of it.
It's you. You're the killer.
I beg your pardon.
Conductor! Conductor!
Wait a minute. You're making a big mistake.
Ravenhouse Mysteries. Which one will claim you as its victim?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was reading this Ravenhouse mystery and I got a little carried away.
Ravenhouse publishes new mysteries every month. If you're clever enough, you'll find Ravenhouse Mysteries wherever paperbacks are sold.
Thank you.
all put upon Pig. His name has become a synonym for everything and everyone unpleasant. We feed him till he's ready to burst because we want to fatten him up for our own purposes. And then we call him greedy. Yes, it's always open season on the pig. But before we become too cavalier about him, it might be good to consider that of all the animals, his heart is the one that's most like our own in many vital respects. Our cast included Louis Turenne, Patricia Elliott, Joan Shea, and Sam Gray. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Ravenhouse Paperback Mysteries.
This is Tammy Grimes inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
CBS News. President Reagan says his proposed budget for fiscal 1983 is sound, and he says his safety net for social programs is still there. This is John Bohannon reporting on the CBS Radio Network. President Reagan formally submitted his new budget to Congress today and then began a speaking tour in the Midwest. His first stop was Bloomington, Minnesota, at a fundraiser for Senator David Durenberger. And he warned against listening to demagoguery about the budget leading to people being thrown into the snow to freeze and starve to death. And later, during an interview on CBS Radio affiliate WCCO Minneapolis, Mr. Reagan looked ahead to congressional reaction.
Well, I don't think they fully understand yet. Now, we have been meeting already with governors, mayors, and so forth, and those we've met with, their joy is expressed that this is something that for 30 years they've been begging for. This was something that Franklin Delano Roosevelt in 1932 spoke of and said we must return to the states and local communities' authority and autonomy that has been unjustly seized with the federal government.
Authorities say several thousand demonstrators showed up outside the hotel where Mr. Reagan spoke. It was sponsored by a group called the Anti-Reagan Coalition. One protester identified himself as a former air traffic controller.
I've been out of a job for 190 days because Reagan treats us worse than he wants the Polish government to treat the Polish workers. What have we been doing to get by? Scratching. There are no jobs. Part-time jobs is all there are.
Mr. Reagan's new budget calls for cuts in aid to education, and NYU President John Brademas has a warning.
They will close the doors to college education for many children of hard-pressed working and middle-income families. The cuts the administration is pressing would slash total funding of student aid by nearly 50% and thereby deny the opportunity for an education to millions of students.
President Reagan is spending the night in Des Moines. Tomorrow, he's scheduled to address a joint session of the Iowa legislature and then fly to Indianapolis for a speech before the Indiana legislature. More CBS News in a minute. A Japan Airlines DC-8 missed the runway tonight at Haneda Airport in Tokyo and crashed into waist-deep waters of Tokyo Bay. Authorities now say at least 20 people were killed, 146 survived, but about 80 are seriously injured, and more than a dozen people are missing. Late word says some passengers remain trapped in their seats. The jetliner was on a domestic flight, and officials report no Americans on board. A fight broke out tonight among some inmates at the Brushy Mountain State Prison in Tennessee. A spokesman for Governor Lamar Alexander, John Parrish, says there are casualties.
Four correction officers were taken hostage, held for some 15 minutes. In the process of freeing the officers, four inmates were shot, two were killed, two taken to a hospital at Oak Ridge.
Brushy Mountain State Prison officials say the battle lasted about 15 minutes. The judge at the Wayne B. Williams murder trial in Atlanta has cited the defendant's parents for contempt. They're accused of violating the judge's order barring potential witnesses from talking to the news media by discussing the case on a radio talk show. Williams is accused of killing two of 28 young blacks found murdered over a two-year period in the Atlanta area. Millionaire John Hay Whitney died today at a Long Island hospital in Manhasset, New York. He was a former ambassador to Britain, published the New York Herald Tribune, and had been a movie producer. A family spokesman says he died after a long illness. John Hay Whitney was 77. CBS News continues after this message. If you've been wondering why no one answered the phone or came to the door last January 24th, CBS TV says it's because they were all watching television. According to Nielsen research figures, Super Bowl XVI drew the largest audience in the history of television, 110,230,000 viewers. John Bohannon, CBS News.